Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear a voice here, animal voice here, the tremble of corn, the feminine of it too. Reaching my dress, I'm seeing at the streets of the blind. My body's stupid, stereo putrid, smearing out music, in the raw to it. Reaching my dress, I'm seeing at the streets of the blind.
Last night after we got done with Pixinista. Yeah.
I know. They were crazy here. I don't think we lost electricity again last night, so that was...
I did. As I told Ginger, Kit Matrix was hiding under the table and then meowing in my face like, fix it! And I was like, what did I do?
I'm going to lose my voice. My kitty was not too happy about it. She would like run around the house and she'd look at me. She'd like, meow! Like, look at the windows, meow. Like, I know, but
I'm like, what you want?
We need the rain. We need the rain.
It's like, what you want me to do, huh, Cat? What are you asking?
I know, right? I'm hoping y'all aren't hearing me coughing. Oh my god,
we are indeed hearing you coughing.
Crap.
So stop it. Just stop it. and Baby Nation, of course, was all curled up under me, and yeah. And I have no idea what she was talking about because, you know, rain is like instant sleep for me. I'm going right to sleep.
Well, I was going to because I was tired, but I wasn't tired enough to go to sleep. So I ended up playing in Second Life for like 30 minutes, and then I was like, screw this. And I went and found, what did I find? Game of Thrones. There we go. I went and found Game of Thrones and was watching like the first two episodes of Game of Thrones. And then
so what do you think about it?
A lot of boobies. I actually like the story. I like the story to it.
Oh, y'all are going to draw me into that. Like, I guess I could because Walking Dead ends.
I mean, I already watched two of them, three of them. I watched another one this morning. So if that tells you that I like it. I mean, there were some parts that, because I'm a big baby. For as much as I like to play the you know, APB and shooting people and whatnot, some of the gore was a little, whoa! I mean, like, one guy gets, like, gutted and, like, his innards go everywhere. And
yeah,
I'm
that's
like,
cable.
God.
That's cable. That's why people are liking it. They're getting movie quality, you know, type violence, but it's cable.
I was like, whoa! I had to look away for a second. I was like, oh, that's not going to go well when I go to sleep.
Well, I will tell you, don't watch Spartacus then. That first season, there's something that happens to poor guy. I felt bad for him, and I don't even have their guy parts. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Lannisters, the Lannisters, I think they're
like? I have no idea. I haven't watched it yet.
I hate them, and they should all die in a fire. Seriously.
I contemplated watching it since Comcast, or whatever they're calling themselves these days, Crooksties, Xfinity. They had a free watch, you know, if you could watch. I could watch it anytime, but if you didn't have those channels, you could go to their on-demand and watch pretty much everything, all those shows, the True Blood.
I recommend it. I really do. I think when I hit the store, I'm going to go and pick up the seasons so I can watch them all without somebody coming back at me, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're stealing my stuff.
Well, you know, yesterday they made the news. They're the highest torrented TV show in history.
I can see why. It's awesome. But no, like I said, I'm going to hit the store later because I got to take back this POS headset.
Uh-oh.
And I'm still mad about that. And when I do, I think I'm going to swing by the movie section and pick up season 1 and 2.
And I may just sit down and watch it at some point, since I'm going to be forced. You people always trying to drag me into stuff.
It's good. I still need to pick up the last season of True Blood, too. I haven't done that yet.
I think I'm done with them. If they don't pick it up this season, they're going to lose me.
Yeah, I know. And it's like the last season that's out on DVD has been out for a bit, and I've been kind of like, meh.
Well, you know, they played up this whole season with, you know, the 2 seasons back of the witches, and they got to this one, and they were playing up the fairies, and both of them were just like...
Lame. The books are good, don't get me wrong. I love the books. I've read them all. But seriously, I mean, and I think a lot of it, and Lafayette, I love you, really, dude. Whoever that is who plays Lafayette, you're awesome.
He's my favorite character on the show.
He is, but he shouldn't be there. He was supposed to have died, and I really think the minute they started changing the story, whatever writers they got to you know, adapt it for TV.
They didn't do a good job. I mean, you can change
the
story.
It's exciting.
Well, see, look at the perfect example. We were talking about Walking Dead yesterday. Walking Dead veers off from the comic books just a bit. You know, they don't kill some of the people off, and they've merged 2 people into one. But there, you have to do it in such a way that it doesn't just completely ruin the story.
Exactly. And my last little gripe about this before I'll move on is that in the books, Suki is a do-it-yourself, I will kick butt, look at me kind of person. I mean, sure, she's still weaker than everybody else, but she's not scared of anything. And in the in the TV show, she's always running to Bill or always running to Eric. Not that I blame her for running to Eric, but I'd run to Eric too. But, still, seriously, just don't kill my favorite characters. Make it like it's supposed to be. I mean, there's supposed to be action, there's supposed to be sex, and it's supposed to be all this stuff rolled into one, and y'all are totally killing it in the show. I mean, and not in a good way. Just, it's not good. It's not cute.
Yeah, they have ruined, and I can. Now, I haven't read the books, but you, when you start screwing it up, even people who don't read the books start noticing this is not right. I mean, the Maynard thing was kind of off. I said, okay, I can accept that.
Yeah.
But when we got to the witches, and you pick one of my favorite songs, Queens of the Stone Age, Burn the Witch, and I'm like, you know, as a theme song for the whole season, and I'm like, oh man, this is going to be good, and they gave me nothing.
No, and that's the whole deal. They've totally ruined it. The books, the storyline of the books is great. If they had somewhat at least stuck to that, it'd be great. They're just like picking and choosing. They're like, all right, so this book was about this, so we're going to have the season have these characters, but it's going to be nowhere near the same.
No.
It's like, you know what? If I wanted to read bad fan fiction, I would go to a bad fan fiction
site. That's right. That's exactly right. Because Walking Dead, like I said, I haven't read those. Nobody ruined it for me because I want to read them. I hear some of the people that are saying, well, they merged these two characters, but it's done so good. Even the fans are pleased. They're like, this is not like the comic books, but wow, it is still really good.
Yeah. One of my besties, I think, reads the comics, but not, or read the comics, and likes it, but I don't know, because I don't watch
You haven't
it.
Watched Walking Dead. You gotta pick that one up. That one's actually good. It's not all zombies. It's just...
I may have to, but I tried, but it kept freaking me out. So like,
well, you got to get past the freak out and start getting into the story parts, because, man, the Sophia storyline, just everybody was hurt. It was like, oh, I'm not going to tell you because I want you to watch it, but oh, it's like, oh, I'm hurt. Oh, stop. I'm hurt.
Before I jump into this, I'm going to go ahead and jump into the news. Before I do this, Cherries Berries, it's not cool that you have an advertisement for these chocolate-covered cherries on my favorite gaming news website. Stop that.
Right?
Stop that. Cherries Berries. It's like chocolate chip covered strawberries. And I can't have strawberries anyway. Damn it. Stop that.
I can. All right.
I know you can, man. And these look so good. So good. All right. So, War Z. I think you actually talked about this yesterday.
Yep.
All right. Well, then I'm just going to skip that. War Z taken offline.
Oh, no, we didn't talk about that part. Go ahead and
tell us. Did we talk about that? All right. The zombie survival MMO, The War Z, has been taken offline after an unknown hacker mucked about in the game's database and compromised personal player data, according to a message from publisher OP Productions. The message which appears when you try to go on the War Z forums tells players that the game has been taken down and that the hack is being investigated. The publisher also says that those who might have been affected by the hack have been informed. According to OP, data has been compromised includes player email addresses used for the forum login, forum passwords, email addresses for game login, game passwords, in-game character names, player IP addresses, and any other personal information players posted on the Warzy forums. No payment information has been compromised. They also advise all players to change their Warzy passwords immediately. The security of your data is important to us, and we want our players to be assured that we take this situation very seriously. We have taken the steps to improve security to minimize the chance of this happening in the future, and will continue to invest in improving security going forward. This has been a humbling experience for us. While we all know that there is no guarantee of security on the internet, our goal is to try our very best to protect your data. We sincerely apologize. Not good, Warzy. Not good. Y'all are just getting knocked around all over the place. It's bad. It's not good. Anybody else noticed how much bad news we keep having about Warzy? Oh, it's not good. So sorry. I don't see that game lasting the year. All right, so Corey is AFK for the moment, so I'm just going to jump into the next one because it's all about the Ginger Show. ACLU explains what information can be shared under CISPA. People, this is something we should really, really pay attention to. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, details what information could be shared between government agencies, corporations, and other entities if CISPA is ever passed. Oh, good Lord, please don't let it be passed. And signed into law by President Barack Obama. Oh, Obama, I voted for you. Do not do this. I will take it back. With the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence set to mark the bill up next week, and the full House scheduled to vote on it the week after that, it is important that internet users understand why this bill is bad for them. If you've not contacted your local congressman, please, for the love of Bob, do it. It's not hard. It's totally simple. Do it. All right. So what can they share under CISPA? Any information that... Him? Yay, you're back! I told him it's going to be the old Ginger Show.
Ginger's got it.
Yeah. Yes, I do. All right. So any information that can be shared under CISPA is information that pertains to cybersecurity, broadly defined to include vulnerabilities, threat information, efforts to degrade systems, attempts at unauthorized access, and more. It's not tied to the criminal definition of hacking, but instead forges new ground. The post on the ACLU blog goes on to point out that America can have a cybersecurity bill that protects critical data while at the same time protecting people's constitutional rights. All that needs to be done is for the bill to have a layer of privacy protection. The good news is that there are simple fixes that could be incorporated into CISPA, which would put a layer of privacy protection over all shared data. First, the House should require that any shared information must be necessary to understand a cybersecurity threat. Under the current formulation, shared information must only pertain to such a threat. A stricter standard would help narrow the flow of information to that which is necessary.
What exactly is necessary? Who gets to judge what's necessary is a question.
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Something people should be asking themselves. Because like I said, 2 weeks and this could be signed into law. If you want to read more about this, this is over at the ACLU.org. Go over, read it, check it out. Write your congressman. Do it. It's so easy. I know we have the links up on GameandAtrix.com in different places. I know it's on my Facebook. It's on the Game and Atrix Facebook. Do this. Do it.
Your local ECA chapter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, it'd be my turn, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It'd be your turn. And oh, my God, I'm so congested this morning. I know I sound all nasally. I'm so sorry.
I was, and then it just went away, and I will not tell you how. Okay.
All right. I don't think I want to know.
No, you don't. All right. Give me some of that. Where did he go? Give me some of that Duke Nukem there.
Duke Nukem. All right, hold on. I was tweeting this out. There we go.
In case you were wondering, it's Duke Day, baby.
Is it Duke Day?
It's Duke Day.
Duke Day. All right, there you go.
Yeah, if only I could breathe. Okay, so this is today's the launch of Duke Nukem 2 for iOS from Interceptor and 3D Realms, among other awesome features.
Nukem
Among other awesome features, Duke now has sunglasses. For real. There's a brand new behind-the-scenes video, too, that Ginger is running.
So hipster now.
Right? Offering some insight. You know what? I sure wish I could find my Twitch window. Oh, there you are hiding there, Twitch window. Evil Twitch window. Okay. So apparently 3D Realms and Interceptor have launched Duke Nukem 2 for iOS, bringing the classic action game to mobile devices. Slam your thumbs into the screen. Don't crack it, though. As you guide Duke across 32 action-packed levels, blasting the living crap out of every alien that dares to get in your way. Take them down. In 1993, of course, just to give you a little history, Apogee released Duke Nukem 2. Why am I watching something else? This is not even our channel. What happened here?
I don't know, but it's on our channel.
It's not our channel, Twitch. No, it switched me to a different channel.
Hello, Horace. Yes, we are all good. We all survived that storm. I'm hoping we get some more. Seriously, our lakes are so low here that they're talking about we may not have water in a year.
I hope we have some more storm, too. Storms are lovely. Okay. So, anyway.
If so, we're all going to move in with Horace.
Or you can move in with me. I got room.
Yay!
Okay, so they're saying that it is amazing, if you're watching the video, amazing experience to be able to work on such a beloved franchise. That's from Frederick Schreiber, who's the CEO and games director at Interceptor Entertainment. He says, as kids, we were all big fans of Duke Nukem 2, and working with Scott Miller in 3D Realm to bring this classic back to life on a new platform was a dream come true. Scott is a great partner, and I'm looking forward to working together on more exciting titles in the future. I'm glad they stopped putting exciting at the beginning. So you can pick up Duke Nukem right now if you have a iPhone, I guess, for your iPhone only. Why do they never give us to a Droid? Okay, but it's $1.99 if you want a little bit of nostalgia today. That's pretty good. You get a smaller cup of coffee, get your Duke Nukem, and you can sit during lunch and enjoy.
That sounds cool.
Happy Duke Day to you.
Duke Day! Sorry. I don't know what I'm doing. All right. Zombie Squad! Let me find it. There we go. Zombie Squad! The long-awaited second beta server of Zomber Squad will be launched at 12:01 a.m. April 7th, so that's Friday.
That is so adorable.
Saturday. I like Sunday. Sunday.
That is adorable. Sunday. I like the little support line.
I know, right? That's totally cute. Totally cute. See? And you could play right from here. I'm not going to, though. Come experience the most unique and exhilarating MMORPG game, Zomber Squad. Recruit and train up to 3 heroes as you fight for survival against the undead. Manage a safe district set up for yourself and NPCs where you have the ability to upgrade buildings to aid you on your journey. A must-play for PvE and PvP fans alike. Experience the thrill of team arena matches or explore exciting dungeons as you annihilate wild bosses. Thanks to your suggestions during the first beta test, we have fixed several bugs and made considerable changes to Zomber Squad. A brand new arena will be released to bring you more exciting competitive gameplay. You'll come across new Zomber abilities and debuffs, updated visual effects, and a redone UI as well. Come and make an account and start saving the world from the Zomber Takeover with other brave heroes today. Yay! I'm looking to see if it's free. Did it say anything about free? I don't know. It may or may not be free. I cannot tell you for certain. When you make an account, you'll receive a free pet, the Zomberfy pack, worth $36 USD when you sign up. So it looks like there's going to be some sort of store where you can buy extras. Hello, you're all. How are you? All right. Let me find. There you go. I got it. Man, I'm on the ball today. Look at that. Corey?
How about I muted myself?
All right. I was like, yay, I got her thing up. And then.
Bam, she's gone. Follow the yellow brick road, y'all. Summertime entertainment. Summertime entertainment, the studio producing the upcoming Legends of Oz 3D animated feature film, will release the Legends of Oz virtual world. The virtual world and games are currently available at the website you see Ginger has there. It's called the Legend. It's www.legendsofozworld.com. This is supposed to serve as a prequel to the film. Legends of Oz will allow you to help Dorothy, or help Dorothy save Oz by reuniting her with the familiar characters Toto, Tin Man, Lion, and Scarecrow, as well as explore new lands that will appear in the movie, including China Country and the Talking Tree Forest. Legends of Oz will feature several multiplayer games, 30 story quests, and 1,000 collectible items. Legends of Oz, of course, they're saying offers hours of free family fun that are wonderful on their own, but also will significantly enhance the moviegoer's experience. This is from Mr. Brad Jashinsky. Dude, you need your name, man. And I did say that right, guys, by the way. Jashinsky. He's a digital producer at Summertime Entertainment. He says, we work closely with the film's production team to ensure accuracy with the feature film, and with more than 90% of the artwork in the virtual world is pulled directly from the film. One of the Legends of Oz's more delightful features is Dorothy's enlistment of Toto to help save Oz. The iconic terrier is not only the player's companion in the game, he also offers another persona the player may switch to for digging out clues and treasures. In addition, you can dress him up and nurture him just like a robot. Dress him up. That's just wrong. It's wrong. Don't do that. Do not dress your
dog. Sure.
It's wrong. Don't dress your dog up. I used to do mine only to take a picture, and then I didn't make her wear that stuff. Like on Halloween, she has a little witch's hat, you know, where the ears would come out, and I'd do it, take a picture, and then I, you know, and take it off. Don't do that. Legends of Oz World, of course, picks up right after the end of L. Frank Baum's beloved fairy tale, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and ends just before the start of the upcoming Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Returned 3D CG animated feature film. The virtual world and the film continue Dorothy's journey via the adventure books written by Baum's great-grandson, Roger Stanton Baum. He says, we secured... Why can I have some trouble today? Rights to 10 of Roger's stories that continue his great-grandfather's literary legacy, and Ryan Carroll, CEO of Summertime Entertainment, was the one that said that. He also says, the Legends of Oz virtual world is just one of the intellectual properties we're exciting to bring to the public. We're in the process of developing several gaming, film, and television projects with our production and finance partners. Legends of Oz World is co-developed by UK-based studio Dubbit and is built on their adventure engine technology, created specifically for the development of children's virtual worlds and apps. Nice. Again, this is produced by Summertime Entertainment and stars Lea Michele. If you love Glee, you know exactly who that is. She's going to be Dorothy. Martin Short is the Jester. Jim Belushi is the Lion. Dan Aykroyd plays the Scarecrow. Kelsey Grammer is the Tin Man. Megan Hilty is the China Princess. Hugh Dancy is Marshall Mellow. Oliver Platt, Wiser the Owl. Patrick Stewart. Yes, I said Patrick Stewart. Is Tug, and Bernadette Peters is Glinda, which she always gets tapped to play Glinda in some kind of weird way. You know something that I know?
No.
That has special meaning to me, too. Stop. Okay. I got confused. That's very private. Anyway. Sleep.
Sorry.
Look, look, I say something in my sleep one day. Certain things say in Corey's brain. I will not be sharing that. I love you, though. I do love you. What is with all the Wizard of Oz stuff, the comeback? And
well, the movie came out, the recent one.
Yeah, I know, but...
Oz the Great and Powerful, which I watched the other day.
Is it good?
So very good. It's very good. It's very good, yeah.
His name there is he's actually Oz, right? James, what's his face?
Yes, and he's kind of hot, and it totally helps you understand why the Wicked Witch is now wicked. She didn't used to be wicked. He broke her heart.
Oh, you gave away. Why did you give it away?
My bad.
See, Ginger, y'all seen that commercial where every time they invite this woman to a party, she keeps telling everybody at the end of the movies when they get ready to watch it on Netflix. Finally find one that she hasn't seen, and the woman looks at her and she makes this face and she says she dies at the end. She tells her the ending. No.
Nice.
Ginger, that's you. Stop telling everybody the end.
Sorry. That wasn't the end, though. That was not the end at all. Anyways. Mm-hmm. All right. So, NVIDIA. I'm going to do two stories here because this says current gen consoles barely have enough power to beat mobile devices.
Ooh.
Your vice president of content and technology, Tony Tomasi, says that the next wave of mobile devices, which the writer's assuming is going to be using NVIDIA technology, will outperform current-gen consoles. He goes so far as to say that current-generation systems like the Xbox 360 and PS3 can barely hold an edge over today's Tegra 4-powered devices. The PS3 and Xbox 360 are barely more powerful than mobile devices. The next click of mobile phones will outperform them. Tomasi also was wise in not mentioning next-generation consoles in the pipeline like PS4 and whatever Xbox console Microsoft plans to release. He also didn't mention NVIDIA's upcoming Shield gaming device either. Ooh, I can't wait to see what NVIDIA's going to come out with. That's going to be...
We had a little bit on that.
True. We've not actually seen it. We've not touched it. We've not played with it. I can't wait to see it in action and see what it does. I'm curious. I mean, because if it's out by NVIDIA, you know they're going to be holding out, like, the good stuff for themselves, right? I would hope. Anyways, all right, so that one was short. Yay, Microsoft. Microsoft trying to make it up to you for how much of a douchebag they've been recently. Unveils Xbox Live Play-to-Earn Player Reward Program. Well, Microsoft's heart is probably in the right place. Its new Xbox Live reward scheme asks you to spend big on Xbox Live for some small rewards. Microsoft has been fiddling around with its rewards program for quite a while now. Pretty much the biggest complaint is that rewards are nickel and dime. So it looks like they have revamped it just a little bit. Microsoft calls this new rewards program Play to Earn and uses the concept of retailer punch cards that reward regular customers. There are three punch cards in this offering. Punch card 1, play 20 hours of any combination of arcade games, and you will receive a free avatar item. Punch card 2, purchase any four arcade games for 400 Microsoft points or more from Xbox Live, and you'll receive a one-month Xbox Live Gold membership. Punch card 3, spend 3,200 Microsoft points on arcade games, and you'll receive Microsoft points in return. Any game purchased on Xbox Live is eligible. Only the most I can't talk. I'm so congested. Y'all have no idea how hard I'm fighting not to sound totally, completely nasally, which is not helping with this headset's crap. Alright, so anyways, only the most devoted arcade fans have what it takes to black out all three arcade punch cards. Those who do will be guaranteed a spot in an upcoming VIP exclusive. By simply playing your favorite arcade games and adding to your game collection, you earn rewards in April. Yay!
I'm still not clear on the rewards. Is it literally a nickel and a dime?
No, it's pretty much like a punch card. Like, you know, you buy three sandwiches, you get four free or something. It's kind of like that. So it's pretty useless. I always hated those things. I mean, people hand them to me and I just end up trashing them because it's just not...
Yeah, because you may have been there five or six times that week, but that was that week, especially with me. I usually get, like, I'll get something I like, and I'll come back, you know, a couple of times, and then I'm like, I'm bored, and then I leave. So usually that's when they give you the card or whatever. Like, I'm not coming back here. I'm done with this sandwich.
Yeah?
Yeah. And you said that, you just reminded me. I did do just that. There was a sandwich shop in the bottom of the Enron building, which is now some other building, that I went to every day. They had, like, the best egg salad, and I went there every day for, like, 2 weeks, and then I got bored of it. And they gave me a card, like, the last day. You should come, and I won't be back. I'm done. This is my last day.
Thanks. We're done.
Thanks. We're done. It's over.
Egg saladed myself out.
I'm done. All right, I got two stories that have been passed over to me. I'm back and forth into Skype. I like it when it's like this. All right, I have an event that's going on. Royal Society is having what they're calling the Summer Science Exhibition. And bear with me because this is like a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of an email. Yeah, so it's got a bunch of those little arrows. So I have to kind of try to sift through the arrows. The Royal Society says they're looking for experienced game development studios to take part in a new initiative that will turn some of the research on show at the annual Summer Science Exhibition into video games. The Royal Society will host a 12-hour game jam coming up on May 24th that will see developers work with the scientists behind the exhibits to produce five exciting new games. That's going to be awesome. Unity Technologies, of course you've heard of them, we talk about them often here, will support the Royal Society in creating fun interpretations of science that will be on show at this year's exhibitions. Of the 23 exhibits taking part this year, 5 will be selected to take part in the Game Jam. The Royal Society is partnering with indie game distribution portal Indie City to share the games produced at the jam. The Game Jam will take place at the Royal Society in London. 5 development teams of up to 4 developers will be partnered with the selected exhibitors for an all-day game jamathon from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Each development team will receive 2,000 euros, francs, something, to further develop their game after the game jam so that they are ready to be played at the Summer Science Exhibition, which runs from the 1st of July through the 7th. The games will be available free online and at the exhibit itself so that the public can cast their votes for their favorite game. The team that receives the most votes will receive an additional 2,000 euros something to further develop the games once the exhibition closes. Professor Peter Sadler, chair of the Royal Society Summer Science Exhibition Selection Committee, said that the Summer Science Exhibition, that's a lot of S's, is one of the highlights of the Royal Society's this year. It also provides a unique opportunity for members of the public to interact with scientists and ask them questions about their work. So they're very excited to be introducing a new element to the exhibition this year in the form of a game jam. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm trying to get you a date here. Okay, so of course we know it's to promote science, recognizing excellence in science, supporting outstanding science, providing scientific advice for policy, fostering international and global cooperation, blah, blah, blah. You can go over, follow them, twitter.com/summerscience, or you can find them on Facebook by going to our Facebook, because I am about to like them, like now. We're going to give them a little love. So if you're looking, trying to find them, you want to be involved, you're a developer, or you think you're one, I don't really know. Some of you think you are. Maybe you want to sign up. You want to get over across the pond there, or some of our people across the pond. If you enter into this, let us know. Send us an email. We'll give you some love. All right.
Yeah,
now,
we will.
Now, I got another leak. And this
you
is,
do? What you got? What you got?
I just got a little bit of a leak. You know what? I didn't even ask her.
Leak it!
It's leaking. Trip. Okay, that game we always talk about, HeroClix. Yeah, they got a new app that's going to be coming out, and it's not due out for a while yet. But we managed to talk somebody and telling us just a little bit about it. It's just a little blurb. It's going to be for ages 8 and up. It's going to be called Tab App Elite, and you're supposed to take you on an heroic adventure, unleashing the powers of legendary superheroes right on your iPad or Droid device. Yeah. Heroes are invited to play their way, choosing from a selection of widely popular DC Comics superheroes, a variety of play styles, and 3D isometric maps, and more. And as all I could get out of her, shake. I said, can I have a little more? We might want to leak that just a little bit. Wait a minute. And I have another one. This is not so much a leak, but this will make some of you excited if you haven't seen this already. I don't think I gave this to Ginger yet. Because I also want to hear her gasp, because this is beautiful.
What you got?
I gotta say it. That right there, that Ginger's about to put up, is a picture, possible picture, of the new Xbox.
Oh, let me see. Piston go. Oh my god. Ooh. Wait a minute. That looks like a printer. Hold on.
I like it.
There we go.
I like
Xbox 720.
How come mine ain't one? Okay, there it goes. I always think mine is.
No, Microsoft, no, okay. Stop. Y'all cannot do tiny. Y'all cannot do small.
Well, it's not even a red.
Oh, wait, no, there could be a red ring right there.
It looks like it could be the red square of death or the red triangle of death, or I'm not really sure what that is.
I've seen that setup. Man, gee, that looks familiar. It looks a lot like a Wii.
It does, doesn't it? Look, there's no tray. Well, there isn't. Yeah. Anyway, that's not the story, but I wanted to show you because I know a lot of people haven't seen it yet. But GameStop is having some good things to say about it. They think it's going to be a very hot and compelling device, according to them. Chief Executive J. Paul Raines sees much of the decline.
What the hell is that?
The sales of Xbox or decline of game sales.
Are you seeing this? What is that?
What?
On the screen right now, what is this?
Woman, I don't know what that is. We're supposed to be talking about this.
I know, but what is that?
Those are some other mock-ups of what they were thinking it's going to look like. I don't know. I just grabbed that picture from what I got from the GameStop story. Now, work with me, woman. Work with me.
I'm sorry.
See, my co-anchor has lost it.
What? That was a cool-looking little gadget. What is that?
And it looks like it's an escape from some type of movie that it needs to be killed. But GameStop is saying they've been spending a lot of time with Microsoft, but we have to let them take the lead on this but it will be. They're talking about the Xbox 720, a very hot and compelling device. They're doing some really cool stuff, and he says he's eager to hear them start their announcements because he thinks the word is going to stand up. The world is going to stand up and take notice. While some industry have negative sentiments toward the console space overall and believe that the next-gen console simply won't sell the same volume that we've seen in previous cycles, Rain says he remains optimistic. He doesn't subscribe to that. He said, the cool thing with GameStop is we've got a lot of gamers here. We've got a lot of people on the team. We've seen every console. And what's interesting to me is talking to one of our founders, Dan DeMatteo. And he was telling him, every console cycle, you get people who will say there will never be another console, or what else can consoles do? And we just believe it's a cycle, and we haven't had a new product in so long, but we certainly don't believe that new consoles won't be as exciting. Adding the first first nearly 900,000 people who signed up for the First to Know list to hear more about PS4, and there's 34% of PowerUp Rewards members who expect to buy a PS4 in the next 12 months is proof that of the buzz around new consoles. You know what? You can't go on what people say they will do. Right then, they might have a great job, and they're okay with dropping $600 and losing it on a console, and by the time it comes out, they may not have a job and not be able to buy anything or change their mind altogether because something else is more exciting. You can't go by somebody checking a box saying, I'm going to get it. I checked the box too, but I'm not getting it. I like the little design of the new Xbox. I'm not sure the next gen of consoles is going to do well, simply because, you know what, I'm a cut Ginger. I need you to talk with me, Ginger. Talk with me, co-anchor.
I'm looking, and I clicked on the picture that I was like, ooh, what is that? I want to touch it. And from New Europe, there is an article where they're saying Xbox 720 may be compatible with the iPad.
Yeah, we've heard.
So that's a cool little iPad.
Yeah, look at the date on that their article, Ginger.
That's last month.
Yeah.
Well, 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 months ago. Still, that's interesting.
Well, I don't think they're going to.
But why would Microsoft and Apple work together?
Exactly. Now, my worry is that this is not going to be a good console cycle because of the price. The handhelds and the phones are much cheaper to get a hold of, and yes, a lot of them are as powerful as, you know, our consoles. They really are. If you have, especially if you got Ginger's phone, it's just as powerful as, you know, what you got sitting there. And you
do not get me going on my phone today, man. Me and that phone.
Are y'all fighting?
The screen would not come on earlier. I will replace you, honey. Don't even get me going. You are a digital little piece of thing. You either work or you...
A digital little piece of thing. Y'all hear how she talks to her poor phone? Okay, while she's doing that, I'm going to check in and let y'all know how the GDR family is doing here in Village Life. I want to see how old Ginger is.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about Icicle on Thin Ice.
Ooh.
Yeah. A leading independent mobile games publisher, Chillingo, revealed Icicle One Thin Ice to press
I love Chillingo.
Conference in San Francisco. Ooh, that's got sound. Why's that got sound? Turn that down.
I love Chillingo. They're the ones who made my order up game. Love me some Chillingo.
All right. The latest title from Wonderput.
Why?
Damn Nat.
Why?
Icicle on Thin Ice stars Dennis, a nude cyclist. Nude cyclist, oh my god! On a voyage to find love in a chilling world of ice that creaks and cracks around him. Oh my god. And that's about all they gave us. All they're telling us is that it's going to be available on the App Store later this year. He's a nude cyclist. Nude cyclist. Oh my god, look, I love the colors. I love the colors. That's too dumb cute. Nude cyclist looking for love. Oh, they put an apple over it. Oh my god. Yes, horse. A nude cyclist. Come on. You know you love it. You know you do. Oh my goodness.
So, I'm not seeing any of that. I think all my stuff crashed or something. I don't know.
We're all watching it.
It don't like me.
Oh no.
I'm still looking at Xbox.
I think yours locked up. But that was cute, nude cyclist.
Okay, now it's floating up. Okay.
Do more stuff?
Yeah, go ahead and do my next one.
Oh, there's another link there. Right? Yes?
Oh, it's the same one I posted up because since we had so much stuff there, I was being nice.
Okay, because that's the same link.
Yeah, I had above earlier. This is for Creatorverse.
Oh, all right, so you and me on Creatorverse. Thank you.
Yes, Creatorverse. From London Labs. Yeah, now I can see what you're doing there. All right. Creatorverse from London Labs, the makers of Second Life Patterns and Dio, announced today Creatorverse for your iOS is now available for free. Previously, London Labs had offered Creatorverse for iOS for $4.99 and Creatorverse Lite for free, but now Creatorverse is available for iOS as a single free app. Creatorverse for Android and Kindle Fire will soon follow the same model, they say. With the new free app, users can access all of the thousands of creations that other users have made with Creatorverse on any platform, shared via a cloud from animated animals, sports simulations, vibrant vehicles, interactive art, intricate puzzles, mini games, crane contraptions, pinball machines, dancing robots, and more. The free app includes the basic tools to remix those creations or to make your own from scratch and share them with the entire Creatorverse universe. For more complex packs of advanced tools like teleporters and motors, they're now available for purchase within the app. In addition, a new capability for Creatorverse, thrusters, are now available in the Rocket Pack, which will allow users to easily add rockets, jetpacks, and more to your creative designs. Anyone who purchased Creatorverse for iOS prior to today will automatically receive the Advanced Creator Pack, normally $4.99, which includes all the advanced creation tools that you enjoyed prior to today's change. With thousands of creations already shared in the Creatorverse galaxy, there's something for everyone to enjoy, said Rob Humble, CEO of Linden Lab. Yes, we no longer have a Linden who's the CEO of Linden Lab. That's really weird to me. But so much of the fun of the Creatorverse is mixing those creations to make your own or building your own design from scratch. So we're happy to make the basic creative tools available for everyone and look forward to seeing what they'll make. Of course, if you're not familiar with Linden Labs, founded way back in 1999 in San Francisco, and they make shared creative spaces that inspire and empower users to explore and share their creativity with others. In 2003, the company released Second Life, a pioneering virtual world by the unique creations of users who can build anything they can imagine, socialize with others from around the world, and share or sell their creations in the thriving real money marketplace. Linden Labs has, of course, now expanded its portfolio to include four new digital entertainment products, including Patterns, a 3D universe for users to shape, Creatorverse, a tablet and mobile game that allows users to set their creativity in motion, and Dio, a new shared space on the web. And also, there's another one, Versu, an interactive fiction experience that makes the reader part of a living story. I have not seen that one, and I will be promptly going over to that after the show.
Yes.
Love me a good story that I can just be pulled into. Oh, I have seen this. I didn't know this was theirs. Verse 2, the living... I have seen these. Oh, this is them. Well, there, Linden Labs, I'm quite impressed because I was going to play with this the other day.
I'm not. Linden Labs, fix your Second Life stuff.
Well, you know what? You can't play this because it's not on Droid. Mm-hmm.
Droid.
That's sad.
No love.
Well, I guess I won't be playing this. Thanks a lot.
I know, right? All right, so, saddening report today. U.S.-based sex offenders are using online games to target children in Canada. And interesting story via the Huffington Post, talking about sexual predators in the United States are using online games and consoles to talk to children in Canada. The report focuses on Winnipeg, but it's not far-fetched to imagine that it's happening. If it's happening in one province, it's probably happening in another one, too. The story came to light after Winnipeg police investigated seven cases of online predators who attempted to lure children through gaming consoles. Not quite sure what that is. Anyways, something Sergeant Darren Smith, Smith, of the Winnipeg Police Service's Internet Child Exploitation, ICE unit, told the CBC police, said that the CBC police are made aware of new cases of luring through online gaming each month and have investigated seven recently. He claims that all but one of these cases involved a Winnipeg child interacting with a suspected predator in the United States. Signe Arneson, the director of cybertip.ca, told the CBC the organization has warned parents about predators using game consoles to contact children since 2005. It's hard to get a statistic on because stats likely are about people who have been arrested and not those who have attempted to approach children and lure them online. Arneson also said kids are reluctant to tell their parents about such incidents because they are worried about their games being taken away in the name of protecting them. I can see a kid being upset about that. Children also feel like they're being penalized for letting their parents know what happened. He asked that parents need to prepare their children to deal with such hazards while gaming, which, you know, Corey has preached about quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So people should really listen. CBC reporter Gazia Sawicka signed up for PlayStation Home, a free game accessible via the PlayStation 3, to see what would happen if she pretended to be a 13-year-old girl. Sawicka explored the public areas of the game and interacted with other players. Sawicka said that within a matter of minutes, the fake 13-year-old girl was approached by several individuals and asked sexually explicit questions, even after learning she was 13. She also received requests for photos, private message requests, and invitations to voice chat. Ew, my skin is crawling. ESA's Canada Director of Public Relations, Julian Lavoie, pointed out to the CBC that members of his organization care about the safety of users and gamers, but he stressed that parents and their kids should always use caution and vigilance when engaging with any form of connected media. Hell to the effing yes. New York State is one of the first states to tackle the issue head-on. In 2012, the Attorney General's office asked several online gaming companies to ban accounts associated with registered sex offenders. He called this operation Game Over. It began in April 2012 and resulted in more than 5,500 of New York State sex offenders being removed from online games. Yay!
You know,
seriously, man, this is
a problem, a very bad problem, because of the fact that the lawmakers are so focused on games are causing people to be violent. This is the type of thing they need to be watching. And a game industry, either somebody needs to appoint somebody, this is all they do. You know, this is your job. You sit online and you know, try to catch these people, whether it be a cop or whether it be your own company. You should have somebody that is policing your service. PlayStation, Xbox, this is what you need. And it sounds like a crap job. You know, you sit and you play games all day. You look for sex offenders, but it has to be. Mm-hmm. It should be done.
It should be done. Yeah.
It should be done. It keeps people safe. And it doesn't have to be a huge team of people, because, you know, there's some people who can sit and play games for 12 and 13 hours a day, namely us. I can pretend.
Yeah, baby. Amy, I will totally find those guys and then blow them up repeatedly.
Yeah. So, because, that's like...
Sure, I mean in the pixel world.
Yeah,
exactly what I meant. Yep.
Well, no, I'm telling you now. The person that gets stupid enough to touch Baby Natrix, be ready for your last breath. Be ready.
No kidding, because if Mama Natrix don't get you, then Baby Natrix got several other people.
She got her Auntie Snow, her Auntie Ginger. Oh, get in line, people. No.
And Auntie Ginger will find you. Do not try. Yes, yeah, somebody is still being trolled on the phone, by the way.
That's what you get. Mm-mm. All right. Hey, throw me some defiance up there. Throw me some defiance.
Oh, hey, I've already got it up. There you go.
Awesome. All right, you guys have heard me talk about this new show on the Sci-Fi Network. The game that goes along with it launches today. It's a massive online shooter that is just opening their doors today. It's from Trion Worlds, believe it or not. You know, those people made that little game Rift. Defiance is supposed to be the groundbreaking, futuristic online open world shooter for your Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, and for Windows as well. It's supposed to expand even further come April 15th with the premiere of Sci-Fi Network's Defiance series. Nathan Richardson, who's the VP of development for Trion and executive producer for Defiance, says that they are incredibly proud that after 5 years of development, wow. So you guys just think they go in there and they just say, we're going to make a new game. And bing, it comes to life. 5 years, people. 5 years ago they started this. So they're very, very happy to be able to bring this ambitious project to life. The game launch, they say, of course, is just the beginning of a truly unique entertainment experience. And in a couple of weeks' time, you'll be able to tune in to Sci-Fi to see the story unfold, the characters develop, and realize transmedia entertainment unlike ever before. In Defiance, thousands of us are supposed to be able to take on the role of an Ark Hunter, scour a transformed Earth in search of a valuable alien technology. Each Ark Hunter can play to its strength, customizing special abilities, as well as upgrading a huge variety of both modern and alien weaponry at your disposal. You can also hunt alone or engage with others in massive co-op boss battles and fierce multiplayer combat known as Shadow War. In addition to taking on dynamic missions in campaign mode while exploring the constantly evolving world, digital copies of Defiance, if you just don't want to leave the house or you're like us, you know, you got a boat, you got to try to, you know, paddle down to the GameStop. You can purchase it online at Defiance.com.
Paddle down to the GameStop. Oh, my God.
Defiance.com/EN. Both digital and physical copies of the game are available at – you hear what I said? Both digital and physical copies are available at major game retailers. Standard editions start at $59.99. You can also get a premium bundle, which includes your digital deluxe edition for PC, a physical collector's edition for console and PC are available for $99.99, which if you really wanted it that bad, it's not bad. If you wanted to have all copies, just kind of cover all your bases. A limited run ultimate edition is also available for console and PC for $149.99. It includes a season pass. All standard and collector's edition items are exclusive. You get as well as an exclusive Hellbug figurine. Digital PC customers who have already bought the digital standard edition can upgrade it to a deluxe edition for $39.99. And again, you can go over to their website to check it out, which Ginger is showing you there on the on our Twitch. I am kind of interested. It's rather expensive. I know this is not Trion World's first game, and they did okay with Rift. I was not that impressed with Rift. Some of you were really enamored with Rift. I was not at all. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. It wasn't that it was a bad game. I went in after launch, and it because if it's in beta, I understand that it's broken. But I don't. After launch, some things need to be fixed. Small things need to be fixed. I know you're going to miss text and things like that because those are super super small things. But things like the click area of trying to click on something was way too intricate. Like you're supposed to click this big thing, and I had to click around it until I found out, oh, it's just a little bit to the right of the actual object. You know, those are things you're supposed to catch in beta testing. So I was not that impressed. And then the only thing that impressed me in Rift, did you ever get in and play Rift, Ginger?
I did. I played in the beta, and then I played several times after.
You know the big octopus thing coming out of the sky? Okay, that I found extremely extremely impressive. It scared me when I saw it, and I'm hard to scare, and I was like, oh God, what is it?
She says that, but if anybody's ever played Fallen Earth with her.
See, that screaming is not scare screaming. That's just screaming because I like to scream when I play the games. It's fun.
She likes to scream voice.
Shh. Don't get me in trouble. You shush.
I have to talk about it because I got to drum up some support for it. City State Entertainment launches Kickstarter campaign for Camelot Unchained. Yay! The new
trial. Hey, remember we talked about that yesterday?
No, you showed it to me afterwards.
Oh, did I show it to you? Oh, damn it!
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The new Tri-Realm MMORPG from Mythic Entertainment, founder and Dark Age of Camelot visionary Mark Jacobs. God, I would sit in your lap and do such dirty things. Anyways, City State Entertainment announces the launch of its Kickstarter funding campaign for Camelot Unchained, which is a working title, a massively multiplayer online role-playing game set in a newly reimagined version of the Arthurian pan-European mythos. Led by online industry pioneer Mark Jacobs, the studio intends to create a highly focused adaptation of the tripartite conflict, for which he is widely recognized. The project's core concept encompasses three primary elements, Tri-Realm RVR. Good God, I'm going to need fresh panties after this, just thinking about it. Anyways, housing and a true player-owned economy built upon a rich crafting system. Hotness. Camelot Unchained isn't a game with something with doo-doo. Let me try again. Camelot Unchained isn't a game with something for everyone, says Mark Jacobs. Instead, we're aiming at a niche audience. Of dedicated RVR-focused MMORPG players. We've tried very hard to incorporate our community's ideas and suggestions into our pledge rewards, even going as far as to show the preliminary tiers in order to get feedback before the start of our Kickstarter. The 30-day campaign is now online over at Kickstarter.com. With a goal of $2 million, if successful, Mark Jacobs will add $2 million himself to the development funding, and other investors will contribute a further $1 million. As befits an MMORPG, the pledge tiers are highly customizable through a system of founder's points that will allow each backer to select his or her personal favorites from an extensive variety of 100 in-game items, skins, and other perks, many of which will never be available again. Certain packages are being offered in limited quantities, some also on a non-repeatable basis. Our entire team is tremendously excited to launch our Kickstarter campaign. If it funds, we will know beyond any shadow of doubt that there is an audience eagerly waiting for the chance to play our type of game. Seriously, oh my God, go throw your money at them. Throw your money. Throw all of it. Throw all of your money at these. I want to play this game. Oh my God. If y'all did not play Dark Age Camelot back in the day, I don't suggest going and playing it now. Don't do it. Don't. I mean, it's still out there, and it's fun. It's great. Don't do it. It's so old, and it, I can't say it's really broken, but it's old school, and you will scream.
But if they understand that, you know.
And it's not for everybody. If you like achievements and, you know, Professor Plums will be handed to you out like candy, it's not the game for you. Not the game, because you will grind. I'm not talking for days, not or hours or any of that. You are going to grind for weeks upon weeks.
It's not a grinding game. It's probably one of the ones after EverQuest that was actually more craft heavy.
The crafting system was always borked in Dark Age of Camelot. I mean, there was a crafting system, but for leveling, that was not the way to go.
Well, no, I don't think I ever got points for crafting, but I'm saying it was craft heavy, and it was all about, for most people, making stuff. I want all my capes to match for my guild, and
because you gems in it, and your armor could be unlike anybody else's. It was tailored to your exact needs.
Yep, and what you wanted and how you wanted it to look. Love that.
It was hot, but good. But that was one of those you could craft for 3 days straight and not get the masterpiece piece of armor you were trying to get. And this crafting, it took a while to craft. This is like stuff out in, like, Fallen Earth when you craft. It took
They didn't have as many things to find as Fallen Earth, but, yeah, it was a lot. It was quite a bit like it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to get stuff to craft, you would be grinding for days to get all the stuff, and then it'd be weeks until you actually got the piece of armor that you're trying for.
I was in love with the fact that the way they built their cities, and again, kind of like Fallen Earth, where you just kind of happened upon them. And then not everything was a major place where you were supposed to go either. You just find little settlement here and there, a lot of places for me to explore. And they were the first MMO that I ever saw that had pathing that was not looped. And what I mean by that is, you guys, you play games, if you play MMOs, usually they have the bad guys, they're walking back and forth, and based on how they're walking, you can tell they're not real people. When I first got in there, I couldn't tell who was the player and who was an NPC, and got my
those things would wander just all
over the place. Yeah, got my ass kicked many a time. Did you ever, I keep asking,
there was none of this parking on the road to be safe, because those bitches cross the road.
Yeah, they were after the road, and there was no zones to run like EverQuest. They would chase you
all the way around the world. Yeah, there was a specific mob on when Trials of Atlantis came out. It was on an island. It was this concrete thing with arrows. I don't know what it was. But anyways, humanoid thing. And if you pissed that thing off, if you picked that thing off, it would follow you. It would chase you all the way around the map. Even if you teleported. You thought you were safe. You're like, oh, yeah, I got away. 30 minutes later, here's that thing coming.
Yes.
Tracking you all the way across the map. The only way to get rid of it was to die by it.
the big red thing. It was a nobody. Only a few people ever saw him. I keep telling you, Ginger's like, I never saw him. He was outside Hibernia, and you went, like, when you came out of Hibernia, you went to the right, and there was through these two mountains, and then you'd walk a ways, and then there's another little I don't know what you call it, a little house village thing that was by some water. Mm-hmm. But when you went the opposite direction, because the road forked, is where he would often show up. But he was huge. He's like the size of a 4-story building.
Wow. And now, see, I didn't really play Hibs too much. Dirty Hibs.
Hey!
I played a human. I was a fire wizard.
I'm talking about my peoples.
Long live Camelot!
Y'all
long live the king!
Somebody come and get your Ginger. Somebody come and get you, Jen.
God, I love that game. Man, I love that game.
I love to just wander. That was me. And as y'all know, I love wandering around and finding stuff. That's how I get into trouble. I will wander.
Hardcore stuff, man.
Dude, I miss those days.
I love the adrenaline. Oh, my God. I just think about it. My heart just goes, ah.
You know what? Don't do that again during the day. No. I told you. People are at work, Ginger. They stop.
My bad. Yeah, Ginger. Later.
All right, it's time for us to go now that Ginger has gotten all of us in trouble.
I would never.
We may be here tomorrow morning. I am really not for certain. So if we are, see you then. We don't know. We're going to go out and hop in the paddle boat now. Going down to GameStop. See if I can find me some to fight. Jen.